Episode 8, Marooned in Space. The first attempts by the Commonwealth Space Project to assemble the space station Orbiter X had been sabotaged by the organization known as Unity. Jack Bradley, captain of the first CSB assembly crew, remains captive in Unity Earth headquarters, while Bob Britton, Douglas McClelland, and flight engineer Hicks have been compelled to help with the construction of the station. Unity leader Kramer flies them out to the cluster of components which are circling the world in orbit. He orders them to step out of his ship and board the central rocket which houses the space workshops. Moments after they leave, he receives a signal warning him that he's in danger. Fire has broken out in the interference transmitter, which helps to screen his ships from the ground tracking stations. Straightway he sets course for his Earth headquarters, leaving Bob, Mac and Hickey drifting in their spacesuits alongside the central rocket, 1,000 miles above the surface of the Earth.
There's a handrail running right round the house. Grab it. For Pete's sake, hold on.
Okay, Bob.
What's Kramer playing at?
I don't know. He must have had a heck of a shock to suddenly pull out like that.
Maybe the CSP ships have been armed, and they're coming up.
Talk about it after we're safely inside this thing. You tend on your bootmakers.
Yeah.
Yes, mine are on, Bob.
All right. But don't rely on them. Remember, we've no jet pistols to guide us back if we go adrift. Just follow the rail along to the hatch of the airlock.
Okay, I can see it.
Good. Open it up. Should be normal pressure inside the hull. Just about everything we need. Keep us going. It's fine. Here we go. Listen to that air coming, eh?
Yes, that's my idea of sweet music.
Yeah. Pressure gauge is rising. I've an idea that if Karma doesn't come back too soon, he might think up a little surprise for us.
We might at that.
Okay, pressure's normal. Open the inner hatch. Let's get these helmets off.
Ah, it's a relief. The atmosphere's not too bad.
Oh, no. We'd better get the air plant working right away.
Yeah, and we need some light, too.
Okay, just stay where you are. I know where the generator switch is.
Good man.
That's the stuff. Now we can see what we're doing.
Yes, you can start the air plant.
Right, Bob.
Well, everything seems to be working. Shall I open the covers of the observation ports, Bob?
Yes, we shall have to keep a watch out for Kramer. He'll be back sooner or later.
No sign of the blighters yet. And there aren't any of our ships around either.
No, I didn't think there would be.
Beats me why Kram and his stooge Galvin should buzz off and leave us like this.
Well, they know we can't get in touch with Woomera. And they also know that these rockets weren't built to make the return tip to Earth.
Yes, but why did they suddenly sheer off like that?
Well, they obviously had a sudden panic on their hands. Maybe their ship developed a fault. It could be trouble at their Earth headquarters or their moon base.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, they've left us to it. The moment Orbiter X was completed, it was up to us to see if they couldn't use it. But now, if they'll give us a little time, we might find a better way out. Anyway, try and relax for a couple of minutes. Let's see what our position is. I'll do a bit of thinking out aloud, eh?
Good idea.
Right. We're more or less in the center of a cluster of 40 rockets which contain all the components of Orbiter X. Fortunately, we happen to have landed on the only one which can supply us with the essentials of life.
And there's a good food store up for it. And we've got oxygen, light, temperature control, and of course the workshop machinery.
Yeah, bags of machinery, but what are we going to use it for?
Well, we can assemble one of the space chariots to start with. All the parts are packed away in the stores, and it's fairly simple to take them out through the airlock, put them together.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bob. I only saw the chariot on the drawing board. What's it really like?
Well, it's pretty good. It's so simple. It's just a skeleton framework, rather like an old-fashioned car chassis, Hickey. It's got two small thrust jets on one end to make it go, and a couple of retros on the front to stop it.
Yeah, and it was designed as a means of transport between the components of the space station.
I see.
You ride it, Hickey, rather like the Roman gladiators used to ride their chariots. Hence the name.
Well, I don't think I'd be much good at that sort of caper. In any case, where would it get us?
I think I've got the answer.
Yeah?
And it might work.
Well, come on, what is it?
Bradley's old ship, Orbiter 1, and our ship, Orbiter 2, are still circling the Earth at more or less the same altitude we're at now.
Yeah, but they're a couple of derelict wrecks.
You think so?
Well, of course. On Orbiter 2, the jet outlet has smashed, the starboard compressor's had it, the cabin pressure's down to zero,
yes,
and...
Yes, yes, I know all that, but look around you here. We've got all the facilities for carrying out repairs in space. And if you look in the stores, you'll find all the replacements we need to get our ship working again.
Yes, you're right, Bob.
Spare jets, compressors, tools, we've got the lot. And we can load them onto a chariot, fly them over to Orbiter 2.
That's a great idea, Bob.
It may take a week to see the repairs through, but if we can get away from here before Kramer comes back, why, he'll never dream of looking for us aboard the old ship.
No, he'll probably assume that we were either swept away by his jets when he pulled out, or he'll think we just drifted away in our space suits.
Yes, which could easily have happened.
Yes. The problem is navigation. We're traveling in orbit over the poles, and Orbiter 2's course is inclined at an angle of about 45 degrees to the equator, as far as I can remember.
47.5, actually.
Oh, you know that, do you?
Yes, I remember what our course and velocity were when we bailed out.
Oh, good for you, Mac.
Well, I was in charge of the navigation.
All right.
And if you give me a little time, I can calculate just when she'll be at her nearest point to us.
Yes, which is when we should pick her up with a chariot.
Exactly.
That's marvelous. If you'll start working on that, Hickey and I will sort out the spare parts and begin putting the chariot together.
Okay, but all this is going to take some time. Kramer might just be back before it's finished.
That, my boy, is a chance we've got to take.
Well, Gilbin, what news?
Almost our entire headquarters staff are working on the interference transmitter, Dr. Kramer. But it will have to be virtually rebuilt, I'm afraid.
I knew that hours ago when I made my first inspection. What I want to know now is how long will it take?
Several days, and I don't like leaving Britain and his team on Orbiter X.
They can do no harm.
Perhaps not. But we have an emergency interference transmitter ready for service. It can work for short periods, and it would screen us from the ground monitors if we did decide to fly out and collect Britain.
But why? He has no radio and no transport.
No, that's true enough. Yes, I think our main concern is Woomera. We know the ships are grounded, but what is happening there? We have no information at all.
What we need is an agent at Woomera.
Yes, but who?
What about this pilot, Captain Bradley? I understand he's changed quite a lot during the past weeks.
Oh, yes. Our new methods of indoctrination work quickly. Bradley is quite ready to work for us now. But CSP believe he's dead and still aboard his derelict ship, Orbiter 1. Obviously, it will be out of the question for him to reappear suddenly in Woomera.
I wonder. I'd like to see him. Yes, have him brought here.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Have Captain Bradley sent to Dr. Kramer's office at once, will you?
Yes. Very good, sir. I will see to it.
Before he comes in, tell me something about him, Gilbin. Tell me about his mental condition.
Well, as a result of our treatment, he's lost interest in all his old associations, including his wife and family in London.
Good.
He is now opposed to the Commonwealth Space Project, and politically, he despises both democracy and military dictatorship. In fact, if you ask him about these things, he will repeat our own party line. He's dedicated to unity.
How does he look?
Well, as you'd expect. It's obvious he's been through a period of stress, shall we say. You remember his leg was broken, so he still walks with a limp. And he's lost quite a bit of weight.
Does he need any drugs?
No, not now. His convictions have been stabilized.
So he might make a good agent.
I'm sure he would. If he could be planted without arousing suspicion.
Of course.
What have you got in mind, Kramer?
I'll tell you later. First, I want to examine Bradley myself. I shall keep the interview very short, just one or two questions. And, of course, part of the test will be to offer him his freedom. Not that he'll get it, but if he declines the offer, we shall know that he's probably reliable.
Yes, I'm certain he is, but you will see.
Ah, that'll be him. Come in. Oh, come in, Captain Bradley. You remember me?
Yes, you are Dr. Cromer.
Of course you do. Gelbin, give him a chair, and perhaps he would like a little refreshment.
But of course.
Let me see. You had a small fracture in that right leg of yours, didn't you? I hope it's not troubling you too much.
As you see, Dr. Cromer, we've been able to take the plaster off for him. I think our medical people have done quite a good job there.
Good, I'm glad to hear it. How are you feeling in your general health, Bradley?
I'm feeling very well, thank you.
Excellent.
Here, take this. I expect you'd like to drink to our new understanding.
Yes, I should. To our new understanding.
We've had some difficult times together. But now that is all behind us,
Yes, you have been very patient.
I hear that Gelbin has talked a lot of politics to you. I hope he hasn't killed your interest in the subject.
No, far from it. It's very important.
It is indeed. You have lived in the British Commonwealth, so naturally we've been interested in your views on that form of government. I believe you've developed some strong views.
I see things more clearly now.
That's most interesting. You now see faults which didn't strike you before.
Yes, I do.
Well, you all have to learn. What do you think is fundamentally wrong with democracy?
To me, the basic fault is that there is no effort to associate scientific qualifications with political power. So we have governments which are dangerous and quite unsuited to lead their countries in a world of scientific progress.
I think you're quite right. But does this mean that you've swung over to the military state?
No, I believe that arises when the scientist's rightful place of leadership is taken by mere men of action.
You know, Gelbin, that's perfectly true.
Yes, how very interesting.
Now, if you take those views out into the world, Captain Bradley, you might do a great deal of good.
What do you mean, Dr. Cromer?
I mean, you are perfectly free to leave here whenever you like. We are not monsters. You can go to any country of your choice. If you choose to keep in touch with us, you're very welcome to. In fact, you might find it to your advantage.
No, I'd prefer not to go away.
Well, that's a very nice compliment to us. But what are your hopes for the future?
I hope to see a world government created by unity and led by yourself, Dr. Cromer. And I want to help you if I can.
So you are prepared to work for us?
Yes.
You said you would like to stay here at headquarters, but perhaps you could serve as best as a unity agent. Would that interest you?
Yes, I'm ready to do whatever you think best.
We might send you to Woomera. What about that?
Woomera. Yes, I'd even go there.
Good. Now, don't worry. That's all for the moment, Bradley. Off you go and try and get some rest.
Thank you. I'm most grateful.
Oh, by the way.
Yes, Dr. Cromer?
I should have mentioned it before. I believe your wife and family are in London. How would you like to send a message to them?
No, thank you. It's not important.
Well, Cromer, are you satisfied?
Yes, we can use him.
Good.
But we won't let him know the location of these headquarters. He'll have to work through a contact. Now, you were saying that the emergency interference transmitter is ready for service?
Yes, we can operate it for a limited period.
Good. We shall only need it to screen a very short flight. You see, Captain Bradley is going back to Woomera.
But where will you have him picked up? He's supposed to be...
Exactly. Our CSP friends will pick him up in the most obvious place of all.
How's this space chariot shaping up, Bob?
If you look through the observation port, you can see for yourself. It's floating right alongside. Hickey's out there fixing the control panel onto the framework.
Framework is right. Looks a bit flimsy, doesn't it?
Well, it's good enough for short hops.
That's what's worrying me. I've just worked out our course for Orbiter 2.
Ah, why didn't you say so?
Well, I'm afraid there's a snag.
Oh, what's the trouble?
Well, the nearest she'll ever come to us is 500 miles.
Oh.
And 500 miles on that piece of ironmongery is going to be a rather shaky do.
Yeah.
I don't even know what speed it's capable of.
Neither do I. It was only built for pottering about, so nobody ever worried very much about that. In fact, the design is aimed at keeping the speed down as far as possible.
Ah, Icky's coming back through the airlock.
Yes, I'll take him on a test run in a moment. Tell me, Mac, how long have we got before Orbiter 2 closes into the 500-mile mark?
About 8.5 hours.
Mm.
So that gives Kramer plenty of time to come back and step on us.
Yeah. Well, how's our flight engineer?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. I'd like to meet the bright boys who designed that little lot out there.
All right, Chief, now listen. I got a nice little surprise for you.
Okay, I'll buy it.
We're going 500 miles on that chariot.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And we've got about 8 hours to kill before we start. So that gives us nice time for a test run.
Yes, well, shall I stay here while you and Mac go?
No. I want Mac to stay here and work out our speed by time and distance measurements. All right, Mac?
Sure, Bob.
Well, we'll just take a trip round the Orbiter X components, Hickey. See if we can remember what's inside the different rockets.
Oh, so it's to be a revision test as well, is it?
Ah, come on, Chief. Snap out of it. Cheer up. Let's get into the airlock.
Okay.
See you later, Mac.
You hope.
Thank you.
Your helmet intercom okay, Hickey?
Yes, okay.
Got your anti-magnetic spanners with you?
Oh, no, turn it up, Bob.
You'll probably need them.
Yes, I reckon I will, too. Yes, I've got them.
Pressure zero. I'll open the outer hatch. We're just about over the tip of South America. Look at the reflection of the sun on the water down there.
Yes, and look at the space chariot right here.
All right, jump. Step aboard. Your boot magnets on?
Yes, sir, on okay. Good.
We better check the mountings for the jets before we start them up.
Well, the thrust jets are okay aft.
Yes. Retros seem to be okay up in the front. How about the seats on the middle section? Are they secure?
Yes, I made sure of them.
Fine. Sit down, fasten your straps.
Right.
I'll start the compressors.
That's a funny little joker, isn't it, eh?
Certainly is. Well, it works, anyway. You all set?
Yes, all set.
And I'll open them up slowly.
Right.
We're moving.
Riding through vacuum on an old car chassis. Oh, what a performance.
Well, as a matter of fact, the performance seems to be extraordinarily good. Well, let's see how she turns when I open the starboard jet. Here she goes, round to the left. Now, I'll turn the other way.
That's not too bad at all, is it?
Now, before we get too far from the workshop's rocket, I'll try the retros. Hold on! What do you think of that? There's brakes for you.
Yes. Do you mind if I take over, Bob?
Yeah, I hope so.
Right.
Here you go.
Right, okay.
Now then, steer for rocket number 2. You can see it almost between us and the pole star.
Yes, I've got it. I must say, the handle's all right.
Changing your ideas a bit, eh? Can you remember what's aboard, rocket number 2?
Yes, now let me think. The middle section of the rocket itself will be part of the space station's central hub. And the station airlock is inside, already assembled.
That's right.
Yes.
Now, open the jets and we'll cross over to the far side of the cluster. Skim round the rockets over there.
I say, that thrust doesn't help push you back into your seat, doesn't it?
It certainly does. You better slow down or we'll be landing on the South Pole.
As a matter of fact, you've got to be careful with this thing. It wouldn't be difficult to shoot right down into the atmosphere and burn up.
You're right there. Make a turn round. We'll go back to the central workshops.
Okay.
The rest of the rockets are the really expensive ones. They're carrying the power plant, communications equipment, the laboratory apparatus, and... I say, what's your target? We're closing in fast.
Right. Starting the retro jets. Now, come up alongside the workshop's hatch.
Okay, you're the pilot.
There we are. How's that?
Well done. Well, What do you think of the space chariot?
Well, I must say I take it back, everything I said. She may look like an ugly bit of hardware, but my gosh, she handles like a dream.
Yeah, she certainly does.
And if Kramer will just keep away a bit longer, we'll be aboard Orbiter 2 and back at Boomerang within a week. That'll be a shock for him.
Quite a shock for Colonel Kent, too, I think.
Come in.
Sorry to disturb you at this time of night, Colonel Kent.
All right, I was only dozing in the chair. What do you want?
Could you step into the control room right away? It's very urgent, sir.
What's happened?
Well, it's going to shake you, sir, and I'm not kidding. We're all wondering whether we can believe our ears in there.
Well, come on, man, out with it.
We're in contact with Captain Bradley.
What? Where is he?
I know it sounds unbelievable, but he's talking to us from Orbiter 1.
Orbiter 1? His own ship? This isn't a hoax, is it?
No, I assure you, sir.
Right, come along. When did you first make contact?
Only a couple of minutes ago. We had about an hour of strong interference, and when it cleared, we heard him. We thought it must be somebody playing a crummy trick at first, but then the monitoring station started ringing up in a heck of a panic, and they all say it's Bradley's voice.
Have you alerted the direction finders?
Yes, the report should be coming in now. Any more news, Arthur?
Yes, direction finders say the signals are definitely coming from Orbiter 1.
It doesn't seem possible.
I know it doesn't, sir, but you can talk to Brad yourself. Take my chair. The mic's on.
All right. Hello? This is CSP Woomera calling Orbiter 1. CSP calling. Come in, please.
There, we know he is.
Hello, Orbiter 1. Are you receiving me? Hello, this is CSP Control.
Hello, CSP. Orbiter 1, answering you.
It is Brad.
Yes, that's him.
Brad, this is Kent here. Tell me, what's happened?
Can't talk very much.
Take your time. Is anyone with you?
No, flight engineer Carter was killed by an explosion in the engine room. Wilson went out to inspect the hull. Never came back. I've been living on oxygen from the fuel tank. Almost gone now. Can't hold out very much longer.
Brad, after you first took off, you sent us a signal saying that your starboard jets were smashed. What happened?
There was a collision. Don't know what caused it.
A collision? What with? Brown, have a ship lined up on the launching platform for immediate takeoff and alert one of the pilots.
Yes, sir.
Call Captain Knight. Tell him we're going out to Orbiter 1. I'll be traveling with him.
Okay, sir.
Hello, Orbiter 1. Brad, are you still listening?
Yes, but reception intermittent.
All right. I won't worry you with any more questions now. I'm coming out to pick you up.
Don't risk your neck. There may be a fault in all our ships. Something wrong with the compressors.
Listen, Brad, I'm not leaving you alone out there. Don't worry. I'll keep a check on the compressors. Just hold on a little longer, and I'll be with you. You understand?
Yes, I understand.
Brown, put a call through to the Minister of Astronautics in Canberra. Tell him I know perfectly well that all ships are officially grounded, but this is an emergency, and I'm taking a calculated risk. Got that?
Yes, sir.
Has Captain Knight been called?
Yes, he's going straight down to the launching platform.
I'll join him right away. I'll explain the position and see how he feels about it. As far as I'm concerned, Bradley is my personal responsibility. I sent him out, and it's up to me to get him back.
Unity Control. Yes. Right, very good. Dr. Kramer.
Yes, Kelvin.
The tracking office is feeding vision signals straight through to our central monitor. We should see Kent's ship soon after he takes off from Woomera.
Good. Stand by with the predictor to check his course and turn up the sound monitor.
Right. You know, I must say, from the time we left Bradley aboard Orbiter 1, he has carried out his instructions admirably. His warning about the imaginary faults in the CSB ships was really quite convincing.
It was essential that it should be. It ensures that the remainder of the Commonwealth fleet remains grounded. At the same time, it covers us if we should have to take the offensive against Kent.
Calling Orbital 1.
This is another signal.
CSP Woomera calling Orbital 1. Orbital 1 answering you. CSB. Hello, Brad. Colonel Kent and Captain Knight have taken off safely in a relief ship.
Ah, good. They're on their way.
They haven't long to wait now, old boy. They'll soon be with you. Thank you, CSB. Hope they make it. Standing by.
Yes, Bradley's doing very well.
Ah, look. There's Kent's ship coming up on the screen now.
Good. Check his predicted course.
Right. Now, let me see. The trajectory is... Ah, wait. There's a complication. Look.
Yes. Instead of climbing straight up, he's conserving power.
And if he follows his present course...
Exactly. It will take him dangerously close to Orbiter X, and his attention will be concentrated on the component rockets. And if Britain makes a visual signal, it could hardly be missed.
But we can't risk the meeting. What shall we do?
I hate altering my plans, but unless Kent changes his course, he will have to be stopped. Check his range and line up the missile.
Right.
I shall allow Colonel Kent to within 300 miles of the space station. If he approaches closer than that, Gelbin, I shall order you to fire.
That was the 8th episode of Orbiter X, an adventure in the conquest of space by B.D. Chapman. It was produced for the BBC by Charles Maxwell.